Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Isn't it time that you powerfully aligned with your soul's purpose and activated your divine gifts and talents so that you can thrive in the new paradigm? Welcome to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert. You've been divinely guided here because something deep within your diamond light longs to be activated so that you can joyously evolve through your ascension journey. Congratulations! You have arrived at the right place. After 20,000 soul purpose and healing sessions, Jennifer now joyfully shares with you her profound wisdom and experience in the Akashic Records, multidimensional healing, and all that is relevant to your creation story as a unique spark of divine light, love. Join us for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. Now, here's your host, Jennifer Longmore.
Welcome, everyone, to Soul Purpose Central. I am your host, Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, and I am so excited that you are tuning in with us today. I know your time is very valuable, and I know this is going to be well worth your time to listen to our very special guest today, Dr. Suki Mukher, and he is an award-winning doctor, author, and ultra-endurance athlete. And what he's going to share more with us about is that at 18, he was a high school dropout, immersed in crime, violence, and drugs. And after he hit rock bottom and almost lost his life, he started an amazing life-changing journey that has led him to dedicate the last 20 years of his life to understanding universal laws as they relate to maximizing your health, happiness, and abundance. And he is really gifted at bridging science, spirituality, and human potential into transforming thousands of lives so that they can live more authentically, purposefully, and powerfully. And on October 18th, he launched his amazing new book, Beyond Body, Beyond Mind, Overcome Uncertainty, Transcend Challenge and Hardships, and Fulfill Your Dreams. And the foreword to that book is actually written by author Gabrielle Bernstein. So I'm so excited to have Dr. Suki on the show with us. So I'd like to extend a warm welcome. Welcome, Suki.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's wonderful to be on the show, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. So we have a little bit of a nugget that we introduced at the beginning of our show, which is that you had a colorful path.
I had
like
a colorful path. Yeah, you know, we've all had colorful paths on some level, and you know, mm-hmm. I truly say that to people, life is really relative. But, you know, for me, I sort of was raised on the other side of the tracks, and I sort of fell into this path that I really felt that I didn't have things outside of me, and that was the source of my unhappiness and my sadness. And if I embarked on a journey to achieve and get those things outside me, meaning, you know, what domestication tells us, you know, more goods, more material things that will actually be happy and will be love and life. And for me, I couldn't see eye to eye with my parents from a very young age and had been on my own since I was 14, and being 14 and ending up on the streets and not having a roof over my head and not knowing where my next meal was going to come from, I really fell into what I understand today is what I call survival state. And then being in a survival state, I spent the next 4.5 years of my life in that survival state trying to survive, and that's what got me really deeper and deeper into that lifestyle.
And then you found your way out of that. So what were the series of events that allowed you to move through that?
You know, it's interesting in that sometimes in life we get pushed to a wall, and for some of us, and I can talk personally about myself, I really had to hit absolute rock bottom before I realized that things had to change. Because if they didn't change, I was either going to end up dead or I was going to end up in jail. And I kind of knew that years leading up to that, but it wasn't until I was sort of standing in that place and I had very serious addiction issues that I had actually overdosed and actually found myself right on that doorstep and knew that I needed help. And although I hadn't seen my family in many years, I knew that on some level they would still accept me and love me unconditionally. And I ended up making my way home and knocking on their door in a not so confident, comfortable state, and they knew something was definitely up. Walked into the house and actually into my old room and spent over 3 months laying in a bed where I virtually had had a nervous breakdown, and my whole body physiologically started going through a healing process and a healing crisis. And those 3 months were the most challenging 3 months of my entire life. But the interesting thing with that is it really laid a foundation for me to ask certain questions to help me better understand not just why I made the choices I made, but what actually took place. The interesting thing being in that place was that the typical model in terms of our healthcare was sort of more drugs and more pills to get me out of that state. And although I was a high school dropout and I was almost 19 years old, intuitively and innately, it didn't really make sense to me that drugs were a large part that clouded my thinking, clouded my reality, that got me to that place. I didn't understand how more drugs would get me out of there. And so that was really a pivotal moment where I'm seeing these experts, these, you know, kind, loving doctors, and tell me this is what I need to do. And they would give me these pills. I just wouldn't take them. And, you know, I was sad. I had depression. I thought about taking my life every single day. But the irony with that is that every single day got a little bit easier. And, you know, some days I was able to get up, put on a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt, and if I could do that, that was a huge accomplishment that day. And other days I was unsuccessful. But what happened was at the end of that 3 months, the successful days were becoming the norm compared to the unsuccessful days. And essentially, physiologically, my body was going through a process. And that gave me this craving to learn more, and I actually started going to the library. So, you know, I'm a high school dropout. I haven't been in school since I was 14 years old. Next thing you know it, I'm walking into libraries reading books on anatomy and physiology and psychology. And that was my first time that I started reading books in Eastern sciences and Eastern philosophy, and actually started learning more about spirituality as well as religion. And so it opened up my mind to a whole world that was beyond everything that I was raised in. Because when we're in a certain environment, it's so easy to think that that's just how the world is. The world's just like this. And, you know, I was raised in a very hostile environment. There was every single day, you know, as a child walking to school, I'd see violence, and, you know, every week I would see some criminal activity and drugs are all around me. You just think that's just how the world is. And in that environment, you have to be fairly strong and vigilant of your surroundings to make it through there successfully. And from my lens as a child, I saw that the people that were tough and strong, those alpha males, they were successful in that environment. So at a young age, I said, well, I want to be one of them because I want to make it in this world. And then after, when I started spending time outside of that realm and saying goodbye to that life, I realized, oh my goodness, the world that I was raised in was such a small microcosm of what this universe actually is. And that's when my life really started to change.
So then what happened next?
I realized at that moment that the more that I started learning, Jennifer, was the more questions that I had. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, now that time was 20 years ago. And I realized, wow, I want to learn about this. So, you know, I still haven't graduated from high school, which is an interesting thing. People are like, you're still not a high school graduate. I started taking basic courses, getting my science electives to eventually get me into post-secondary. And as a result of that, I studied exercise physiology, I studied kinesiology, psychology, really deep into mathematics, physics, and quantum physics. And then my post-secondary journey lasted just over 10 years. I eventually became a doctor of chiropractic, and understanding all of that within those 10 years, I also learned that the education I was getting was somewhat limited in terms of its ability to answer the questions that I had. So while I was in a traditional university curriculum in the Western world, I created my own curriculum. And in my own curriculum, that really delved into understanding. First, it came through physics and then led into deeply into quantum physics. Because up until my 19th birthday, I was a very, very strong atheist. I was what you see is what you get and nothing else. And I was very dogmatic about that. I was raised in a religious family. Religion was force-fed to me. As a result, I contracted when anyone would talk about, you know, a higher power, a higher purpose. My eyes would roll, and I'd be like, whatever, you know, and I used to say as a kid, you know, religion and believing in a higher power is simply for weak people. And I used to say the same thing about spirituality. I was very what you see is what you get. And when I started creating my own curriculum, simply because I wanted to understand my own journey and how my body actually began to heal itself and reorganize itself over my time. Now, also note that I sought the services of some pretty extraordinary, you know, doctors and people who could facilitate the healing process, the innate healing process within me, support my physiology and my body, you know, all through my 20s and you know, even till today I still work with people. But, you know, in my early 20s I, you know, saw a counselor for several years. So I did embark the services of many extraordinary people that would help me. And as a result, it was very much to heal myself so I could become healthy and I could become happy. But as a result of not getting my questions answered, I started to get more of them answered from my own curriculum versus the traditional curriculum through school. And as a result of that, that really opened up my entire world. And as a result of that, I started bridging everything I was learning from Western sciences to Eastern sciences and Eastern philosophy. And the biggest thing that I learned is that the intelligence that created this entire universe is the same intelligence that has created you and I and everybody else the moment of conception. It's like those two half cells from our mother and our father were taken by this intelligence, and then in 9 months, that intelligence created an entire human being. And the greatest thing that I heard that's so powerful is that that intelligence did not abandon us when we were born. And if we can create a lifestyle that allows us to connect to that intelligence, to culture, and to nurture it, we can actually be extremely connected, extremely healthy, extremely happy, and really tune in to the abundance the universe has to offer. And that's really the paradigm that I delved into, Jennifer, and that's really the foundation of my work, and it's the foundation of what I talk about in Beyond Body, Beyond Mind.
I love that. And before we chat about that, I actually am having some ahas as you're speaking, because the purpose of Soul Purpose Central is to talk about soul purpose, because it's something that's on everyone's mind on some level. Most people are searching for it, and some people are aware of what their purpose is, but maybe for a series of reasons are not giving themselves permission to live it full out. And I want to introduce people like you to all the listeners, because in hearing your story, it illuminates perhaps something for someone else where they can say, oh, okay, so that is how I discover my soul purpose. So when you were sharing about, you know, letting the questions basically drive your life And it was about how you lived in the question rather than trying to live in the Label Maker 3000, right? And all the limitations that come with just trying to label everything all the time.
Right.
That is what helped you to, that the questions pulled you along through your journey and uncovered your purpose, and they likely still continue to expand your purpose.
Right.
So I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more about that and what you've seen with respect to people that seem to be living fulfilling purposes, and people that are maybe still struggling with that. What do you see as being an essential ingredient for that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jennifer. I've noticed within people can either choose, and actually it's a choice. I believe everything in life is a choice. We can choose to be happy, or we can choose to be right. When we choose to be right away, we assume we know everything, and we tend to judge and criticize the people, places, and things around us, especially when we don't understand them. On the flip side, if we choose to be happy, we can actually cultivate curiosity. And when we cultivate curiosity, it means, hey, I know something, but I know I don't know everything. And the people, places around me have actually been synchronously, beautifully gifted in front of me, so I can cultivate that curiosity and I can learn and grow. You know, the biggest thing that I actually learned through all my sciences, and both connecting sort of the Eastern and science understanding of life, is that the constant in life is that everything is changing. And the only thing that's certain is that everything is uncertain. We truly don't know what happens on our journey. We don't know what happens at the end of the chapter. We don't even know what happens at the end of the book. And I believe physiologically, anatomically, physiologically, vibrationally, we are here to grow and evolve. We're here to grow and evolve mentally, emotionally, physically. And we're actually spiritual beings having a physical, mental, emotional experience called life. And through my Western science education, I realized that the central nervous system, that's the conduit for that intelligence, which is also our perception system, it's how we see the world, we hear it, feel it, taste it, touch it, we get that intuitive gut feeling. The anatomical structure that's the conduit for that perception system is the central nervous system. And the central nervous system, us, we constantly want to grow and evolve. And so if we can accept that we're here for growth and evolution, that on the other side of every challenge, of every hardship, of every curveball, of everything that pushes our buttons, is an expansion of growth. And that's where I believe choosing to be happy comes from, because when we choose to be happy, we say, okay, you know, life's throwing me this curveball. Wow, this is a pretty challenging situation, honoring where I am. This is kind of pissing me off right now. But also knowing that there's some opportunity, there's some seed of something that's going to allow you to see life differently and to move beyond that. And that's what I actually call the integration process, where our physiology, our nervous system, integrates that experience. And as a result of that, from a subatomic level, we're going to increase our core vibration. We're going to increase our physiology. We're going to look at things differently. We're going to expand our awareness. We're essentially going to grow and evolve. Now, if we talk about those people that are having struggles, I hear you. I've been there. The thing is when we're having struggles, we're not processing, we're not integrating life as well. As a result, we're not growing and evolving. As a result, we're not going with the ebb and flow of life. So life keeps pushing us, as it pushed me. And for me, it pushed me so far that it pushed me right to rock bottom, because I wasn't listening. I could have listened earlier, but I chose not to listen. So if those people that are experiencing challenges and hardships, if you open up to say, okay, right now, you know, honoring where you are, this is challenging me, but also seeing that there's some opportunity in accepting right now. This is what I say to myself. Right now, I can't see the gift. I can't see the opportunity. I can't see the learning in this situation. But I'm just going to sit with it. And I know through time, through daily activities, with new perspectives, you know, time heals everything. But if I open up that vortex of space, then I could step into that space. Mm. On the flip side, I can say, this thing in front of me is because of that person or because of that thing or because of my employer or my colleague, essentially saying that the outer world around us is happening completely not connected to where we are within ourselves. So it's just like this world around us is not an influence of the world within us. And I'll go as far as saying that the world around us is actually a mirror of where we are within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we can shift where we are within ourselves, or we can shift our perception of what's occurring around us, which inadvertently will shift where we are within ourselves.
Mm.
And I know that,
I love that.
With absolute certainty, I know that the life that was around me for the first half of my life was very much a reflection of where I was within myself. I was angry. Mm. I was afraid. I was cynical, and, you know, the list just went on, is that, and so, of course, these are the things that would show up in my life.
Mm. Oh, there's just so much richness in what you're saying. I'm so many things that are kind of like many different pathways colliding at once. I want to go back, though, to something you said, because I know it's definitely relevant to what you talk about and how you practice. When you're working with people, you mentioned a few times that you had to hit rock bottom before things could change, that was the choice that you made, and you realized you could have made a different choice, but for whatever reason, that needed to be your motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's the case for a lot of people, and certainly for me, I needed to manifest a car incident, I'll call it, way back when, to be the catalyst for change, that I needed something drastic to kind of rattle me out of the sort of autopilot that I was in at that time.
Right.
And people can, I've noticed in life that people can either use that and say, okay, I don't need to be hit over the head with the universal baseball bat anymore to make changes. I'm actually going to create my own life. And so they actually become or step into the driver's seat of their own life. And some people take it as more of a victim position and look at what happens to me, and this is just always going to happen to me because this happened once, and so therefore it will always be this way.
Right.
So knowing that you work on the body and know that you're working with the neurological system and all the stuff you spoke about with the divine intelligence and so on, what's the difference that you see in people who live from the place of creating their life and how it shows up in their body? Versus people that kind of keep having life happen to them?
Mm. One of the key differences, Jennifer, is that the people who are consciously creating their life developed a motivator for that.
Mm.
And, you know, similar to how you said you essentially manifested this car experience, I believe that I manifested myself hitting that place of rock bottom. As a result of that, that provided such a strong motivator for me for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And what I say is that in life, our voids drive our values. Whatever we perceive as missing in our life will become highest on our value list.
Mm.
Myself personally, I hit rock bottom, so I realized, wow, if I don't have my health, I can't do anything. I can't walk. I can't talk. Never mind, you know, work or have a relationship and one day have a family. That will not happen for me. So right away, that void of losing my health and well-being became my greatest value. And because I experienced that polarity, that created the motivation and the drive to get on a path to create a more healthy me. So really in the same thing, you know, the other things that, you know, I was in a place where, you know, what was once upon a time where I was actually homeless living on the street. So having abundance so I could have more choices in my life was also a void, which created another high value. So people who consciously create their lives have had some kind of motivator. And what I always say is that our life grows at the edge of our comfort zone. So we can choose our challenges. The people who are conscious creators, it's the reason why I'm an ultra endurance athlete, is because those are challenges I choose. Because I know that if I don't choose my challenges, life wants me to grow and evolve. And if we're not challenged, we're static. And life is actually a dynamic process. So we constantly need to be moving and shifting, because we're either growing or dying, but we're never static. If we become static, life is going to start to push us. So by choosing our experiences and choosing experiences right at the edge of our comfort zone, the ones right at the edge of our comfort zone are beautiful, because they're not, you know, getting hit by a dump truck going 100K, which is so far out of our comfort zone. They're just right at the edge, so they push our buttons a little bit, but they still allow us to see the gift and opportunities. So that's one camp. That's the camp that says, I'm going to consciously create my life and, you know, figure out what my values are, which I know are driven by their voids, and they're going to embark on that path, essentially choosing those experiences that allow constant growth and evolution and a lifestyle that's really cultivating and nurturing their growth, their evolution, and who they are as human beings. Mm. In the other camp, you know, we have people who choose a victim mentality. And again, I've been there, you know, poor me, life happens to me, my life sucks, it's going to keep happening this way. That's the conversation I was having with myself. And I always say that all it takes is a certain incident, a certain person saying something, or a certain experience to shift that. Because, again, you know, we can choose to be right or we can choose to be happy. And when we choose to be a victim, we choose to be right. And immersing yourself in that state and immersing yourself in that radio station, if you will, you're going to continue to repel certain radio stations disguised as experiences, and other stations are going to be attracted into your life. But the moment that we understand that we are the conscious creators of our life, that what I do within myself is a reflection of what occurs outside of myself and vice versa, we take responsibility. And when we take responsibility and accountability for our life, we can then begin a process of changing. Because remember I said that the only thing that's certain in life is that everything is uncertain. Everything is in a constant state of change and flux. It's the entire universe works that way, and we're a part of this universe. So for those people who are like me, who are stubborn, a few incidents aren't enough. If you're stubborn like I was, things have to get pretty darn crazy and pretty darn bad before we can make that shift. But we don't have to. Even a stubborn person can make the choice to make a shift and a change at any time. All it comes down to, Jennifer, it comes down to a choice. And if we can make wherever we are, it doesn't have to be a huge choice. It's just the acceptance of what's occurring in that life, and accepting, wow, I'm actually choosing to be a victim. And right now I know that's where I'm resonating and that's where I'm seeing, but I would like to choose things differently. I would like to stop being the victim and opening up. You know, what is it that's around me right now that could help me shift this perspective? What is it that I could do right this moment that can allow me to see my life from a new vantage point? That's what I call a one-degree shift. And a one-degree shift in that moment is not astronomical. However, after several days, there's a little bit of change. And over weeks and over months and over a year, that 1 degree begins to multiply on itself. And if you can imagine yourself going in a straight line, straight ahead, staying on the same path, but then see where you are shifting that angle 1 degree, you can see 20 yards in front of you, that 1 degree shift is going to be a lot further from that straight line that you're on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the small things that we do that start with that one shift that we continue to cultivate day in, day out. I'd invite that person and I'd say, what is one thing that you could think about every single day that allow you to see things differently? That's it, just differently. It doesn't have to be, you know, this grandiose idea, but just see things differently every single day. And then the next invitation is, what could you do differently today? What's one thing you can do differently? It's baby steps, and all these little baby steps, they create momentum, and the baby steps begin to multiply together.
Mm. I love that. Well, let's stay with that, if you don't mind, because I can kind of hear people thinking, and I've heard enough of these types of questions over the years to know that people are probably asking you the same question in their mind, too, which is the yeah, but. Dr. Suki, I know you said my life's a choice and that my life is a mirror of what's going on inside. So how does that relate to me as someone that's been raped, someone that's been sexually abused, someone that's been robbed,
mm-hmm.
someone that's been abandoned, someone that's been put up for adoption, or any host of things that we would classify as being highly traumatic?
Right, right. Okay. So if we separate ourselves from, you know, what's occurred, say, in our past, and we sort of just bring ourselves to where we are today, I totally understand. For me, I say that there's five basic wounds that we can experience, and I've experienced most of them. They are humiliation, abandonment, rejection, betrayal, and injustice. I believe the most challenging things that we experience as humans will fall into one of those five categories. I've personally experienced three of them very deeply, and the other two on certain levels when I was growing up, and especially through my late teens. Now, as an adult, being my late 30s, when I think back to any of those experiences, Jennifer, and again, you know, I went through counseling for several years, very traditional, lots of untraditional work as well. And so I've done lots of healing and lots of processing and lots of counseling and psychotherapy and all those wonderful things around those things. In the end, I realized that experience happened. I can judge it. I can say, wow, you know, that was a bad person that did those things to me, and it's making me feel a certain way. But in the end, right now, I am where I am in my life. Our physiology, our central nervous system doesn't know the difference between past, present, and future. They've actually done studies with this where they take athletes and they'll ask them to do a physical activity like sprint down a track, and then they'll measure the neurological firing and it fires a certain way on a graph. Then they'll take the same athlete the next day and they'll ask them to lie down but just visualize performing the exact same activity of sprinting down the track. Again, hooked up to a neurological feedback machine, the neural firing, whether they're physically moving their body or not, is identical. So the nervous system does not know the difference between past, present, and future. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? If something that happened to me 20, 25 years ago, 25 days ago, and I think about today, and I still get a strong emotional response, meaning anger, fear, frustration, guilt, sadness, that means my central nervous system is still processing that event and that experience as if it's happening right now, today. And by making the choice to let my nervous system process it that way, that's ultimately holding me back. That's ultimately putting a weight on my shoulders. So that doesn't mean that we have to see the experience as as a beautiful thing in that moment in time. You know, I'd love to say, you know, right now in my life, every challenge and every hardship I came to, I'm totally at a place of peace with it. With a lot of them, I am. With some of them, I'm still working through. I'm still processing through. Just like you, I'm not only a teacher, I'm also a participant. And what I do know is that with those experiences that I've healed through, I've integrated through by saying, that sucked, that was a challenge, I can't believe that happened to me, but I'm not going to let it hold me back anymore. And that pivotal shift was what allowed me to begin integrating that experience, and as a result, saying, yeah, that experience was tough, and that was a challenge, and it's greatly impacted my life, but what's one thing I can write down right now that I know that I'm a better person because of that experience? So for me, being living on the street and not having a roof over my head and not knowing where my next meal was going to come from, how am I a better person because of that? Because now I'm far more responsible and accountable to my life, because I know that I can choose to live life different ways, and as a result of the choices, I get to different places. Now, if I think back, sleeping, you know, on a cold January night on a park bench, that doesn't feel very good. And being 14 years old and walking around the street not knowing, you know, where I'm going to eat, that doesn't feel very good. But as a result, right now, every single day for the past 20 years, when my feet hit the ground, I'm grateful to experience that day. That experience right there has created gratitude that I now have every single day to just wake up and experience that day. We can find small, finite things. How am I a stronger person? How am I more vigilant? How can I discern the people I want to be around? How can I be a better parent as a result of that experience? How do I know how to raise my children better? How do I know how to be a better partner in my romantic relationship? How can I be a better colleague? There's so many things that we can see that as a result of that challenge and that hardship that have actually made us a better and stronger person. And what we can start to do is we can start to stack up all these different things over time, and eventually when we come to a place of gratitude, to a place of inspiration and even love, then we know we've integrated and processed that experience.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. And I like the notion of being able to just shift our perspective, and if all we can do in this moment is just look at something that's happened differently, whether it's good or bad, just differently, is enough to shift the energy. I think that's very powerful for people. It's something tangible that we can all use, mm-hmm. so that we can be more and more of the conscious co-creator that we are designed to be.
And adding to that, Jennifer, is that, see, right now, if we see something as a challenge or a hardship, right now we're seeing with a certain set of lenses because we're resonating in a certain place. And to ask someone to see it this way or that way is too far of a leap. But to ask them to just see it differently and accept that right now I don't have the perspective to see the goodness of this, and saying, hey, I'm cool with that, but I'm choosing to look at this differently, I'm choosing to see it differently, and then basking in that space, eventually will bridge you between the gap of where you are and where that goodness is.
Mm. The other thing that you mentioned a while ago when we were chatting was about people sort of getting stuck in their stuff, you know, some traumatic thing that's happened. And it struck me when I look at all the people that I've supported over the years that people can get very linear about their processing. They kind of get stuck in a moment and they get really consumed by something that's happening, irrespective of all the other things that could be happening in their life.
Mm.
So you and I, for example, would be able to have something happen throughout our day that we go, oh, I really didn't want to have to deal with that today. But we can still attend to all of the other things in our life that we chose to create that day, plus create additional things, plus shift our perspective on this thing that's happened that perhaps we don't want to have to deal with, but we're just going to have to by virtue of the fact that we're running a business or, you know, we're in a relationship or whatever. So how can people start to step away from that linear approach to life, that one thing has to happen before another thing happens, and be sort of more holistic in their approach even to their day-to-day reality?
You know, I think a big powerful thing to break that up is people really need to shake up and start shifting their routines around. And that can be a small thing. It can be, you know, when I drive to work or drop my children off to school, I always go down these streets. How about going down those streets, even though it might take an extra 5 minutes? You know, it can be as simple as that. It's just shifting things up a bit. And by shifting things in your daily routine, you're going to start to see different things. And we start to see different things, again, now we've created a non-linear path to how we get to work or how we get to school or, you know, how we embark on our day as we go through it. Now, I accept routines, and I think routines are extremely important. And if people have routines that serve them well, what it'll ask them to do is to add things to their routine. Like, I'll give you an example. For me, I start my day with certain rituals. Every single day, I begin my day with exercise and some form of exercise. I'm an endurance athlete, so there's a variety of different things that I can do. But after I exercise, what I do is I actually meditate. And sometimes meditation lasts 3 minutes. Sometimes it lasts 2 hours. It just depends on my day. It depends on what I have time for. After that, I begin to visualize. And after I visualize, I write down whatever comes to me with no rules. So with exercise, meditation, visualization, and journaling, it is virtually impossible to not be connected to that place of power within yourself when you embark on your day. And when you embark on that day, what happens is when you're connected to that place of power, which is simply that intelligence that I talked about, that intelligence that created us from two little cells that lives within us. So we let the clouds of life prevent us from seeing that power place and seeing that intelligent, conscious being that we are. But when we're cerebrally, when our heart is also connected to that area, we become this huge, like, transistor with radio frequency waves that are just enormous. We begin vibrating and resonating at a whole new level. All of a sudden, our ability to co-create transcends to whole new levels. And that's what all of a sudden we see as well. If I do this, then I get this, and then I get that. It's like A plus B equals C equals D. And that's kind of the world I used to live in. What you see is what you get. And the world I now live in, where I realize that, you know, everything in this world is made up of subatomic particles that are either repelled and attracted to certain things, is that we can actually jump from A to F to M to Z that quickly, when we're tuned in to that power place. So for me, those rituals are very powerful. I invite people to actually start to practice those rituals. And there's a very, you know, in my book, I talk about why exercise is actually important. It's not about looking better when you look in the mirror. There's physiological, chemical things that happen within our cells and atoms when we actually exercise. When we meditate, our central nervous system moves out of an alpha state into a theta state. When we're in a theta state, we become this beacon that begins to attract certain things. Because we're connected, we tend to think about certain things when we begin to visualize how we want to see our day unfold. I actually, you know, I would say everything's created at least twice within the universe. First is created within our mind, and then it takes its physical manifestation. And that can be anything. If you think, wow, what am I going to wear to work today? Or what am I going to wear while I'm chilling out with my friends today? You think about, oh, I'm going to wear, you know, that shirt or that dress or those shoes and this pants. You think about it in your mind, and then you walk into your closet, and then you put those things on, and you'll be like, okay, this looks great. Or you say, oh, you know what, that actually doesn't look good. I'm going to switch the shirt up. So everything we do, we realize we actually manifest and consciously create everything we do, even in the linear dynamic. But when we move into the nonlinear space, what happens is we're able to transcend the time-space limitations that we can only see with our finite eyes. And again, shaking things up and creating the rituals that allow us to connect to that place within ourselves are really the catalyst that allows that to manifest so we can actually see it. And once we start to do it, the beautiful thing is we say, oh my goodness, you know, for me it was like, yeah, right, sure, this actually works. So I started trying it, and I was like, oh my God, it does work. And then I started doing it more and more, and see, that started to create momentum. See, now it's not this construct or it's this idea. It's with, you know, it's virtually like with mathematical certainty, the same way that when I'm hungry, I know that if I have a nice meal, I'll no longer feel hungry. Like, we just know that. When I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I say, hey, that's Suki in the mirror. I see myself. I don't think, is this Frank? Is this John? With absolute certainty, I know who I am. The exact same way, with absolute certainty, when you start to embark on these changes and rituals, you begin to develop those muscles, and as a result, seeing those things start to happen around us. The biggest thing that happens with a lot of people is they don't have the patience to allow the things to actually manifest. And they give up right on the edge of some change, some transformation that's ready to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I know you talk about a lot of what we've talked about today, or at least concepts and constructs that we've talked about today in your book, and you did mention it, of even just speaking about exercise and what it does, which I didn't even realize that that's what exercise does, so that's really cool. Cool takeaway for me. But for people that are listening and they're maybe not familiar with your work, they're thinking in their heads, okay, well, this sounds cool. I'm listening to Dr. Suki. He seems to know what he's talking about. He's giving me lots of insights. I'm hearing that he's got this book. Why should I go out and buy this book? How is it going to help me?
This book, first, I share a little bit of my personal story. So it's going to help you understand that, again, not only am I teaching this, but I've been there. I know what it's like. And that provides a source of inspiration, but more importantly, some motivation. The majority of the book is helping the reader, helping people remove the obstacles and challenges that really hold them back from fulfilling their dreams. I have very specific 9 strategies where the first 5 talk about how we lay a really solid foundation of who we are and really connecting to that place of power within ourselves. And then the next 4 strategies allow us to begin to interact with the environment around us, the other people, places, and things around us, while staying connected to that foundation and that place of certainty and power within ourselves. And what you'll begin to realize in diligently working through every chapter, and there's exercises, it's a story, but it's also a guide, and it's also a workbook. What you put into life is what you'll get out of life. Yep, you're going to have to do a little bit of work. But as a result of doing that work, you're going to be able to transcend those limitations and transcend those hardships and actually begin to be grateful for them, because they've now fueled you as a catalyst and they've become motivation to now create a better life, a more connected life, a more conscious life, a life that's more aligned with your values.
I love that. I know for me personally, I really appreciate the story, so I can see myself in that story and it's relatable, and, you know, I can take a lot from people's stories, but then having things to help me implement, right, so that I can not, it's not just knowledge, it actually becomes wisdom once we apply it.
Right.
So I love that you have designed your book in that way. So if I'm wanting to buy the book, Dr. Suki, where do I purchase a copy?
You can, the best way is to go to my site. It's drsuki.com, and just on there, there's lots of links on there, and for people internationally and even nationally, the best route is probably Amazon at this time to get the book, and there's links on there to get that.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be, for all of you listening, we'll be uploading this information on the site, so you're not going to be trying to figure this all out on your own. But I know you have lots of other juicy information on your website as well, so it's drsukhi.com for people that are wanting to know whether doctor is spelled short or long. So
right.
As we start to wrap up for today, because you and I could speak forever, I'm sure, what is one parting thought that you can leave with everyone listening today about how they can really amp up their ability to create their own reality and live to their fullest potential?
Every moment of every single day, we're making certain choices. And some of those choices are as simple as the food that we're putting in our mouth, the TV programs, the books or magazines we're choosing to imprint on our minds. My invitation is, whatever you're watching, whatever you're seeing, whatever you're putting in your body, just ask yourself, is this allowing you to grow and evolve, to be healthier, stronger, more connected? Or is this food, this thought, this idea, this program, this movie, moving you in the other direction? Is it causing more fear or more uncertainty? Once you ask yourself that question, you can begin to make choices that are moving you in the direction that you want to move.
I love that, and I love the fact that you've emphasized choice quite a bit during our time today. So in case all of you who are listening didn't catch that, it's a big, big thing, and one of the beautiful things about being a spiritual being in a physical body is that we have these universal laws called free will, and we're empowered with the energy of choice, which is fantastic and what creates such a rich experience for us. So, Dr. Suki, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today and your wisdom. And for those of you listening, thank you for sharing your time today. If you missed it and you want to catch how to reach Dr. Suki and purchase his amazing book, just visit drsuki.com, and we will upload that on the show page for you today. So have a great rest of your day, everyone. Namaste.
You've been listening to Soul Purpose Central with internationally acclaimed radio host Jennifer Longmore, North America's Soul Purpose Expert, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Jennifer for your connection to the wisdom of the collective Akasha and selected experts who can align you to all things soul purpose. Prepare to be activated, aligned, and accelerated on your ascension path. To find out more about Jennifer Longmore, visit her on her site at souljourneys.ca.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. Creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Some talk radio networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low, without regard for another's journey. They focus on the problem and not the solution. Other networks tune in to the highest vibration possible to help us live life full out.
I'm Chris Danis.
To help us stand in our yes.
I'm Sue London.
And cultivate a platform for positive change.
I'm Karen Hager.
These networks don't come often.
I'm CJ Liu.
But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve anything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned with bombarding us with bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned with sensationalizing an individual's setbacks or challenges.
Powerful, inspiring.
These networks focus on amazing, innovative broadcasting.
You can learn a lot.
They provide a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent educational information.
Everyone's a team player.
These networks are tailored for an empowered, active, and diverse radio listening audience.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
They help us rise up.
True empowerment.
Create a strong foundation so we can stand powerfully in our yes.
Epic social change.
They invite us to thrive, appreciate our lives, and create the amazement we call ourselves.
The urge to grow.
These innovative networks remind us that everything is possible.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
That nothing is limited. That our lives are much more than anything our minds would have us to believe.
Let us inspire you.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives and live in the moment of every breath we take. Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Won't you join Transformation Talk Radio? And let's change the world together. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.